Winter Oak by Yuri Nagibin. Read by Kevin Archer. The piercing bell that announced the beginning of the school day had hardly died down when Anna Vasilievna came into the classroom. The children stood up in a friendly way to greet her, and then settled down in their places. Quiet was not immediately established. There was a banging of desk lids and a squeaking of benches, and someone sighed noisily, apparently bidding farewell to the serenity of the morning atmosphere. "Today we are going to continue learning about parts of speech." The class quietened down, and a heavy lorry with a trailer could be heard crawling along the road. Anna Vasilievna remembered how last year she used to worry before a lesson and would repeat to herself, like a schoolgirl at an examination, "The noun is that part of speech. The noun is that part of speech." And she remembered, too, how she used to be tormented by a ridiculous fear that perhaps they wouldn't understand her. Anna Vasilievna smiled at this memory, pushed a hairpin back into a heavy knot of hair, and, conscious of the self-control which spread like warmth through her whole body, began in a calm voice. "The word noun is used for that part of speech which is the subject. In grammar, the subject is what we call everything about which we can ask, 'Who is this?' or 'What is this?' For instance, 'Who is this?' A pupil. Or 'What is this?' A book." "May I come in?" A small figure in worn felt boots and covered in sparklets of frost that were thawing and losing their brightness stood by the half-open door. The round face was burning and as red from the frost as if it had been rubbed with beetroot, while the eyebrows were grey with rime. "Late again, Savushkin!" Like most young teachers, Anna Vasilievna enjoyed being stern, but on this occasion her question sounded plaintive. Assuming that the schoolmistress's words gave him permission to enter the classroom, Savushkin quickly slipped into his place. Anna Vasilievna saw the boy push his oilcloth bag into his desk, and without turning his head, say something to his neighbour, presumably asking what she was explaining. Anna Vasilievna was disappointed by Savushkin's lateness. It was an unfortunate mishap, spoiling a day that had begun well. She had had complaints about Savushkin being late from the geography mistress, a shrivelled little old woman who looked like a moth. Actually, she often complained of noisy classes and inattentive pupils.
"The first lesson is so difficult," the old woman would sigh.
"It is for those who cannot control the children and make the lesson interesting," Anna Vasilievna thought to herself with self-assurance, and offered to exchange periods. She now felt guilty towards the old lady, who was sufficiently perceptive to recognise the challenge and rebuke in Anna Vasilievna's amicable suggestion.
"Do you all understand?"
Anna Vasilievna asked, addressing herself to the class.
"Yes, yes,"
chorused the children.
"Good. Now, give me some examples."
There was absolute silence for some seconds, and then someone said uncertainly,
"Cat."
"Right," said Anna Vasilievna, immediately remembering that last year the first example had also been cat. And then there was an outburst.
"Window, table, house, road."
"Right," Anna Vasilievna went on saying. The class bobbled happily. Anna Vasilievna was surprised by the delight with which the children named familiar objects, recognizing, as it were, their new and unaccustomed significance. The range of examples went on widening, but in the first minutes the children stuck to what was closest to them, to tangible objects: wheel, tractor, well, starling house. From a desk at the back where fat Vasiata sat, there came a high, persistent voice.
"Nail! Nail! Nail!"
Then someone said timidly,
"Town?
Town, that's good," said Anna Vasilievna approvingly. And then the words began to fly.
"Street, metro, tram, film." "That's enough," said Anna Vasilievna.
"I see you understand." Rather unwillingly, the voices fell silent. Only fat Vasiata went on, muttering his unacknowledged
"nail."
Suddenly, just as if he'd woken up out of a dream, Savushkin stood up in his desk and shouted out in a ringing tone,
"Winter oak!"
The children began to laugh.
"Quiet,"
said Anna Vasilievna, banging the table with her hand.
"Winter oak,"
Savushkin repeated, noticing neither the laughter of his schoolfellows nor the teacher's admonishment. He did not speak as the other children had. The words were torn out of his soul, like a confession or a joyful secret which he couldn't help from spilling out of his heart. Not understanding his strange excitement, Anna Vasilievna hid her irritation with difficulty and said,
"Why winter? Just oak?" "No, not just oak. Winter oak, that's the noun."
"Sit down, Savushkin. This is what happens when you're late. Oak is a noun, and we have not yet come to what winter would be. Kindly come and see me in the staff room during break." "There's winter oak for you," someone sniggered from a back desk. Savushkin sat down, smiling at his own thoughts, and not in the least perturbed by the teacher's threatening words.
"Difficult boy," thought Anna Vasilievna.
The lesson continued. "Sit down," said Anna Vasilievna when Savushkin came into the staff room. The boy sank into an armchair with pleasure and bounced up and down on the springs a few times. "Kindly explain why you're consistently late."
"I really don't know, Anna Vasilievna," he said, spreading out his hands in a grown-up way. "I leave home an hour beforehand."
How difficult it is to get at the truth in the very simplest matter. Many of the children lived much farther away than Savushkin, and yet none of them spent more than an hour getting to school.
"You live at Kuzminki?" "No, by the sanatorium."
"Are you not ashamed to say that you leave home an hour before school starts?
It takes 15 minutes to get from the sanatorium to the road, and then not more than half an hour to walk along the road." "I don't go along the road. I go the short way, straighting through the forest,"
said Savushkin, as if this circumstance surprised him. "Not straighting, straight," Anna Vasilievna corrected automatically. She felt sad and confused, as she always did when faced with a child telling lies. She was silent, hoping that Savushkin would say,
"I'm sorry, Anna Vasilievna, I was snowballing with some boys,"
or something equally simple and innocent. But he only looked at her with big grey eyes, and his expression seemed to be saying, "There now, it's all been explained. What else do you want of me?" "It's a pity, Savushkin, a great pity. I shall have to speak to your parents."
"I've only got a mother,"
said Savushkin, smiling. "I'll have to call on your mother."
"Oh, do come and see her, Anna Vasilievna. My mother will be pleased."
"Unfortunately, I've nothing to say that will give her any pleasure. Does your mother work in the mornings?"
"No, she's on the second shift, from 3 o'clock."
"Well, that's good. I am free at 2. When lessons are over, you'll take me home."